the challenge to figure out how to get back to regular life. Not that life's supposed to be regular. Life's supposed to be illuminated and exalted. But you know, it's hard. It's hard to come back. It's exciting to be back, but it's also sometimes challenging when you're transitioning out of Yontif. There's a story I always like to share by the Nila Sachag of Sukkot, because Chazal say that one of the challenges of coming to the end of Yontif is something that Hashem Himself declares. Right, why do we have a Yontif of Shmini Atzeres? What do Chazal say? What does Hashem, so to speak, say to us? After 7 days of Sukkot, we brought 70 karbanos for the 70 nations of the world, 70 parim, 70 bulls. Now Hashem says, okay, enough with the whole world. I just want to have some private time with you. And Hashem says, in the language of the Gemara, in the language of Chazal, kasha alai predas. It's hard for me to see you go. It's hard to let go. Stay one more day. Which is a funny thing, because it just delays the inevitable. So we'll stay one more day, and eventually we have to leave. At some point we're going to leave. Yom Tov is going to end. But Hashem says about the relationship, the feeling that we have after all these days, kasha alai, with an ayin, kasha alai predas. It's hard for me to see you separate. It's hard for us to go our separate ways. Hashem says, I got so much from you, and you got so much from me, and it's hard to part ways. So there's a story I always like to tell by the Ne'ilas Achag of Sukkot. And that is that when the Beis HaLevi, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, when the Beis HaLevi, the father of Rav Chaim Brisker, whose Torah we're going to learn today, Mirtz Hashem, Nesach HaSukkah, when the Beis HaLevi was a younger person, he went to Brody, to Brod, to learn by Rav Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger was an unbelievable gaon. And he spent 3 months learning by Rav Shlomo Kluger. At the end of 3 months, it was time to go. And the Beis HaLevi came to Rav Shlomo Kluger and he said, Rebbe, you know, I came here with a lot of questions. I had a lot of kashas when I got here. And you were able to answer all of my kashas. You were able to resolve all of my kashas, all of my questions. I had questions in Tosfos, I had questions answering up Rambams, I had questions in Halacha, I had questions in different sugyas. I had so many kashas. He said, but Rebbe, there's one kasha that I know you're not going to be able to answer. That you haven't answered, I know you're not going to be able to answer. So Shlomo Kluger says, how could you say such a thing? How do you know I'm not going to be able to answer? He said, because I know you have the same kasha. I know you're going to get stuck on the same question. So he says, no, what's the kasha? So the Beis HaLevi said, you can imagine with tear-filled eyes, kasha elai predascha. My kasha is that it's hard to part ways, and I know you have a problem. You're sad to see me go also. And that kasha, I don't have an answer for, and you don't have an answer for. And Shlomo Kluger was masking me, he said, you're right, it is kasha, that's a hard kasha. And the Rebbe and Talmud part ways, it's a hard thing. Kasha life for dust, that's a kasha that you can't really solve. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, stay one more day, even though at some point, we're going to have to get stuck going our separate ways. But I was thinking, if that's the feeling, if that's the challenge of what? Of leaving the Yom Tovim, but we have the opposite bracha of that story. Which is what? Is that we're getting back together. If the kasha elai predaschem is that it's hard for the Rebbe and Talmud to part ways, so now Baruch Hashem, we're all back together, the chevra's back together. So we have the bracha of coming back together. I heard, I was at a bar mitzvah this past year, Rabbi Yehuda Willig's son, Menachem Willig, got bar mitzvah. And Menachem's grandfather, Dr. Weinberger, Dr. Yehuda Weinberger from Tinek, got up to speak, and he asked the question on this chazal, kasha elai predaschem. Well, what does it mean, kasha elai predaschem? It's hard to what? It's hard to part ways with God. What? Because God's not found in Mar Cheshvan. I mean, kasha elai predaschem. We're parting ways with Hashem. The Yerachai Tonim, the Yom Tovim, right? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Hashanah Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, it's over. So now, Hashem says it's hard to part ways. Why are we parting ways? We can't have a connection to Hashem in Cheshvan. What's kasha elai predaschem? So Rabbi Yehuda Willig's father-in-law suggested the following. He said, the kasha elai predaschem, and he was reflecting on the Shabbos that they had had at the Simcha of the Bar Mitzvah. He said, when the children get together, when the family gets together, when parents and grandparents get to see all the children and grandchildren spend time together, it's the biggest nachas in the world. Hashem says, kasha elai predaschem, not that it's hard for me to part ways with you. You can meet, I'm still with Hashem right now, here in Washington tonight, it's right here. On a regular day, we're still connected to Hashem. But you know what's hard? Hashem says, when all the Jews came to Yerushalayim, and all the Jews got together in Beis HaMikdash, Kasha Elai, it's hard for me to watch all of you go your separate ways. It's hard for me, Hashem says, it's hard for me to watch Klai Yisrael. Everyone got together, all the communities got together, we spent so much time in shul together, and people got together, and davening together, and learning together, and rejoicing together. And now everyone wakes up, you know, the Monday after, and everyone's back to their own little individual avoda. So our willing father-in-law was saying, we had such a beautiful Shabbos, everyone came together for the bar mitzvah, and as the grandfather was saying, kosh alai perdasim, it's hard for me to see all the children and grandchildren, now everyone's going to go back to their separate ways. And that's hard for Hashem also. Hashem sees that what? That everyone was together and now getting apart. But again, I think we have the opposite bracha. Because all of us were apart, for the most part. Some of us were together a little bit. Right? Most of us were separate, and now we're all back together. So Baruch Hashem, we have the bracha. We have the bracha of coming back together. We have the response, the kosh alai perdasim. Hashem says, it's hard for me to see. Everyone's leaving their community. Everyone's going back to their business. Right? But Baruch Hashem, our family, our community, our shir, is Baruch Hashem back together. And that's a big bracha. So I want to welcome everyone back. Welcome back. Okay, I want to begin where we ended off. On page number one. So I put together a few Maamar Kumbos again to help us make this transition. Page number one, you'll recognize maybe the font. It's from the Sefer we were learning in Chodesh Elul in the beginning of Tishrei, the Das Shlomo from Shlomo Volbi. Volbi, in the volume that we were learning out of, has one piece that we didn't get to do that I really wanted to do. And I almost called you up to do it over the phone together after Yom Kippur, but I think it's absolutely relevant. The piece was from Motzei Yom Kippur, but I think it's 100% relevant right now to the end of the whole period of the Yom Tov. He says an amazing thing. He writes, Hashlav ha-mesukon b'yoser b'tisas chalav hu ha-chazar l'toch ha-atmosfira. The most dangerous part of space travel is what? Is re-entry. It's coming back into the atmosphere. It's not as hard. I'm not saying it's so easy. I'm not pretending I know how to get a rocket ship out of planet Earth, right? To get out of the to get above and beyond. But coming back down is even harder. Re-entry is even more dangerous and even more complex, right? Same thing is true with flying an airplane. Flying an airplane, getting the plane off the ground is easier, not saying it's so easy, but it's easier, much easier than landing a plane. Right? The most dangerous part of any flight are those few seconds of landing the plane, which requires unbelievable expertise and great precision. So says Revolvi, the most dangerous part of space travel or of any type of plane travel is hachazar l'tocha atmosfera, is returning to the earth below. In machalalis eina nichneses l'socha, if the plane or the aircraft, the spaceship, doesn't enter on a precise angle, if it's a little bit off, if the nose is a little too high or a little too low, he alula lisarif me'atzemes hashifshuf ba'avir. It has the ability, it's likely, that it'll burst into flames just by making contact with the air, just by rubbing it up against the air, right? There have been spacecrafts that have been ripped apart just because the angle was a little bit off. If you don't know how to land the plane, it's very easy to chas v'shalom kill everyone on board. Me'einza, so says Revolvi, Hashlav ha-masukon b'yoser b'yom ha-kippurim, the most dangerous part of Yom Kippur, or in our context, the most dangerous part of Motzei Sukkis, Simchas Torah, coming back to Yeshiva after being off for so long, is what? Ha-chazar l'toch maslul ha-chaim, getting back to regular life. Getting back into the regular routine. It's not so pashut. We've all been, hopefully, if we got anything out of these last 6 weeks, right? If we got anything out of the last 7 weeks, from the beginning of Chodesh El and Tishrei, such exalted times, if we got anything out of it, we're on a high and we don't know how to land. We don't know how many get back to papers and tests and how many get back to just regular, life. Hanukkah's a long way away. So he says the danger, the challenge of life after Yom Kippur and after Yom Tov is getting back to regular life. Everyone was uplifted in accordance with his level on Yom Kippur, on Sukkis, get him adding on Sukkis. We experience all sorts of a refinement of character, emotionally uplifting moments. Right, there was a hisoris. Harbe yoser ilayos me'asher choshim argisha b'beshach olashana. More elevated than we feel at any other time of the year. Chodesh Tishrei, you can't compare. The Navi calls it Yerach Ha'itarim, the strong month, strong with mitzvot, strong with opportunities. Right, we feel uplifted on a certain aliyah that we don't feel the rest of the year. Ach Yom Kippurim inu Yom La'atzma. But the whole period of Yom Tov is not meant to be a standalone day. What's the point of this whole month? And again, he's talking about Yom Kippur, but I'm applying it to everything. We should be able to take from its illumination, from its light, the oros, the hashpos of the Yom Tov, and to take it with us into the whole year. We packed our bags just now, over the course of the last 6 weeks. We packed our bags, right, for the next 10 months. Chizuk ba'avoda, aliyah l'sug avoda yoser nal, we should come back more elevated than when we left. Azivas chataim, we're much cleaner. We've scrubbed ourselves clean, hopefully, from many of our averos. So when we come down, after Yom Tov, back into the world of regular life, alul chas v'shalom, kol yom kippurim li'sarif, but the whole thing could burst into flames. If what? Me'ashivshuv hachazak. Shivshuv means like scrubbing, rubbing up against. To, by rubbing up against the avira hachilonit. By rubbing up against what? Against air that's not as pure. The Belzer Rebbe used to walk outside in Yom Kippur and would go like this. Take a deep breath. So he said, Rebbe, what are you doing? He says, on Yom Kippur, the Yitzuma Shoyom is mechaper. At least according to one opinion of the Gemara, the day itself cleanses. That means the air of Yom Kippur is different air. He said, I want to breathe in the air of Yom Kippur. So Rav Volbi is saying, now we're back to breathing regular, you know, regular air. Regular weekday air. Right? Not Shabbos dika air, not Eretz Yisrael dika air, not Yom Tov dika air. We're breathing regular air. And there's a danger, again, that when you're rubbing up against the atmosphere, you could burst. To be able to enter on the precise line, and to enter on precisely the right angle, the tocha atmosphere, that's a big challenge, says Rav Volpe. He goes on in the second to last paragraph on the page. He says, we find that chassidim and anshei maisa, for the sake of time, I'm going to summarize a little bit. He says, chassidim and anshei maisa, the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us, that they would wait an hour before davening, and they would wait an hour after davening. It says, Rav Volpe, I understand why you need to wait an hour before davening to prepare yourself, hayushon and shah achas, to prepare themselves to stand before the melech machayim lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we spent some time before davening trying to get ready for davening. Okay, we can understand. What do you need an hour after davening for? So Rav Volpe says, because if you really were davening, if you really had, the Shulchan Aruch says, it's possible for every human being. Yispashtus hagashmi, you left your body behind, you allowed your neshama to soar in the heavens. It's going to take you an hour to come back down. You're not going to be able to wrap up your tefillin and just run out of the Beis Medrash. So Rav Volpe says the hour that the tzaddikim Rishonim would wait after davening was to be able to adjust back to this world. Because when a person has an uplifting experience, you have to know how to land. He says the same thing is true on Shabbos. He says in the bottom paragraph. He says Shabbos, we start with Kiddush and we end with Avdallah. Why do we need Kiddush and Avdallah? Again, Kiddush helps us to blast off, and Avdallah teaches us how to land. Avdallah teaches us how to come back down. And he ends off the piece by quoting from the Saba Kadisha, the Kelm, the altar of Kelm, who said the same way a person needs to be careful climbing steps, you have to be even more careful getting down steps. Many a cat have been able to climb into a tree and not been able to find their way back down. So getting up is much easier than getting down. Climbing the mountain, right, is much easier. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's much easier than being able to, much more dangerous and much more frightening to try to scale the mountain when you're descending the mountain. Because again, you can more easily slip and lose your footing. Okay, let's turn to page 2. This is from the Sefer Dvarim Arevim, from the brother of the Tolna Rebbe, from Yerushalayim, Shlita. His name is Shlomo Zalman, Zalman of Weinberg. I've heard from people who know him. He's an amazing individual. His Svarim are unbelievable. He collects from all over the place. So he has a piece in the Sefer Dvarim Arevim on page Chaf Vav. You see where the arrow is on the right-hand side. He quotes from Rav Gadol Eisner. Rav Gadol Eisner was a great mashkiach, a ger chassid, survivor of the Holocaust. There's a lot of amazing stories about him as well. Never blessed with any children, but had thousands of talmidim. So he says that Rav Gadol Eisner, Sipur Pam Achas mi Rav Itcha Alter. Rav Gadol Eisner once shared in the name of Rav Itcha Alter. Who's Rav Itcha Alter? Rav Yitzchak Alter. Rav Itcha Alter. Who's Rav Itcha Alter? Rav Itcha Alter was one of the sons of the Imre Emes, the third ger Rebbe. And unfortunately, this Rav Itcha passed away in his father's lifetime. But he was a very, very halakhic yid, this Rav Itcha Alter. His name was Itcha. Who was he named after? Who's the first ger Rebbe? Chedushi Harim. And what does Harim stand for? Yitzchak Meir. Right? Itcha Meir. Yitzchak Meir. So this Rav Itcha The son of the third Ger Rebbe, the son of the Amayamis, was named Mistama for the Chidush Erev. Okay, so Rav Gadol Eiser said that I once heard from Rav Itcha Meyer, the son of the Imre Emes, the following. On the left-hand side. Rav Yitzchak Amar, on page 2. Rav Yitzchak Amar b'derech halatzo. Ma'adua dovkim slach lanu b'tchilas shmona esrei b'motzei Yom Kippurim. A famous question that many Sfarim ask. Why are we smacking ourselves? We just finished Yom Kippur 5 seconds ago. Hopefully Mara's taking more than 5 seconds. We just finished Yom Kippur 5 minutes ago. Yeah? We literally just finished Lufnei Hashem Titaru. Being cleansed in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we're davening Maariv, Motzei Yom Kippur, Slach Lanu Avin. What are we slapping ourselves for? We beat ourselves up all day. You need more Hashamnu Bagadnus? We need more Alchetz? What Aveira did we do in the last 5 minutes? So there's different answers to this. So Rav Itcha Alter said a funny answer, and his brother, the Pnei Menachem, the sixth Ger Rebbe, explained it. Here's what he said. He says, V'tirates, in the second paragraph, on the left-hand side. V'tiretz shebegur amar hakal b'kaddish b'richu le'ilam mikol b'rchasa v'shirasa. The minog in Ger was that what? When the chazan sang kaddish, you say b'richu, right? You also say the next couple words, le'ilam mikol b'rchasa v'shirasa. You don't just say b'richu or amen, you say b'richu le'ilam mikol b'rchasa v'shirasa. Sometimes people say that, you hear some people say that. What do we do? What do we change in the nusach of the Kaddish during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva? We don't just say Le'ela, what do we say? Le'ela u Le'ela, right? Or some say Le'ela Le'ela, right? So look what he writes. He says, the minog in Ger was that you say Brichu Le'ela min kol b'rchasa v'shirasa. That's regular, that's all year round. U'v'Aseret Yemei Tshuva, we change Le'ela to what? Le'ela u Le'ela. V'hinei b'chasi Kaddish shelifnei tefila shmon esrei. When the Chazan says, Chatzi Kaddish motzei Yom Kippur, he says, Chatzi Kaddish right before shmon esrei. People are so used to saying Le'ela u Le'ela that accidentally, when they're answering Kaddish, they say Brichu Le'ela u Le'ela min kol b'rchasa v'shirasa. So for that Avera, saying Le'ela u Le'ela, you have to clap Slach Lanu during Shmona Esrei. Because you were used to saying Le'ela u Le'ela, so you messed up on Motzei Yom Kippur, you said Le'ela u Le'ela. That you're supposed to just say Le'ela. So for that Avera, you have to clap during Slach Lanu. Pretty funny answer, no? So the Pnei Menachem explained, you can see where his name is bolded. V'amr al-Zeh, Rebbe Pnei Menachem. His brother, the Pnei Menachem, again, one of the other children of the Imre Emes, explained. Achi Rav Itcha Zal lo amr stam bedichus. Rav Itcha wasn't making jokes. Like, that's what we're clapping for on Motzei Yom Kippur, because we accidentally said an extra word, la'ila u'la'ila. So he said, I'll tell you what my brother meant. It was a very deep thing he was saying. What my brother was really saying, Pasuk says, Ach tov l'Yisrael. Ach tov l'Yisrael. Ach is Gematria 21. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the 21 days from Rosh Hashanah through Hashanah Rabbah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 21 days of Yom Tovim LiYisrael. Esrim ve'echad Yom Sheish Be'ama Arus Gedolos Or V'Shefa Tov. 21 unbelievable exalted days. Yeah? Of course we have even more than that. We have Shmini Atzeres. We have some Simchas Torah. Okay, but the 21 main days of judgment are from Rosh Hashanah to Hashanah Rabbah. It's a Rusa de La'ela Gedola. An unbelievable heavenly arousal. So to reflect the lofty level that we're on, what do we say in Kaddish? Le'ela u'le'ela. We're mamish out of the atmosphere. Hashemayim u'shmei Hashemayim, right? We're totally beyond. Aval ha'ikar hu ritzoni yisbarach shemo. Va'avodas ha'odam einena dafka b'yom tov ma'elu. Ela dafka b'yom ma'pshutim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't get stuck pretending you're a le'ela u'le'ela type of Jew. The Aveira of Motzei Yom Kippur, what Rav Itcha Alter was saying, the Hatzad of Kaddish Levrach, what he was saying is that a Jew who on Motzei Yom Kippur is still saying La'ila U'la'ila, he's in big trouble. He doesn't know how to land the plane. He doesn't know how to land the rocket ship. You have to know how to bring it back down into this world. You have to know how to stay, to hang on to some of those Oros and that Hashpa of the Yom Tovim, but to be able to transition back to normal life. Right? And to not fall apart. That the Yom Tovim shouldn't just be a fleeting moment. That the aircraft shouldn't burst into flames. Shebehem kiviyachol ein ha'arvos miyuchedes mishamayim. To bring it down to regular days where you don't have those illuminated moments. V'asar ha'odim lamod b'mivchan u'liros im yodei l'snai k'dabay. So the chet, or Rav Itcha Alter was hinting to, the sin of Motzei Yom Kippur is dreaming that, oh yeah, forever I'm going to be le'elu le'elu. Maybe that's even the reason why, I'm just thinking now, that there's a minhag to eat pas Yisrael during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So everyone asks, that's fake. You're pretending yourself from now. What do you mean you're pretending yourself? So we mentioned once before an explanation that I think I saw from Nassim Zvi Finkel in his writings, his printed writings, that no, it's not fake that when you're standing before the king, you act differently than when you're in your house. Right? That's normal. When you go to the palace, you act differently. So when you're doing the Aseres Mei Tshuva, Lefnei Hashem Titaro, you're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dirshu Hashem Bihimatso, Hashem is close by. So you act differently. Right? But maybe you dafka do it and then you dafka stop, because that's what, yes, you have to know how to transition. You have to know that there's going to be times that are la'elu la'ela, but you also have to know what your regular level is on a regular Tuesday in Chodesh Cheshvan. You have to know how to make that transition. And again, that's the main challenge. And that's why, again, on Motzei Yom Kippur, a person has to say Slach Lanu if he's still living in Demyonos that he's forever going to be Yom Kippur Dick. It's not going to be Simchas Torah all year. There's going to be days we have to just, you know, push through. The Yom Pshutim, where there's no Isarus to Leila, where Hashem is not showering down Hashva upon you. But you have to, you know, get yourself out of bed. That's the challenge of these days, coming out of the Yom Tov. Of course, there's a part of us that we wish we could stay forever. We could stay in Chodesh Tishrei forever. If we could do the whole thing over again, you know, there's always that feeling, right? You ever have that feeling on Motzei Yom Kippur, or at the end of Simchas Torah, at the end of any Yom Tov? Ah, if I could just do it again, I would have done certain things I would have done differently. Could have taken more advantage of this or that, right? Hoshana Rabbah, I didn't realize it was such a big day, I should have taken advantage of it more. Could have davened in a better minyan, right? That desire to do things all over again is actually reflected by the day itself of Simchas Torah. On page number 3 in the Nefesh HaRav, Rav Schechter's Sefer on Rav Soloveitchik, the first volume that he put out after the Rav passed away. It's a quasi-biography filled with divrei halacha and hashkafa. So he has a piece, he has an entry on page 164, Amiras Adon Olam. Did you ever notice that we end davening with Adon Olam, and the truth is we sort of start davening with Adon Olam? Isn't that interesting? So look what he says. He writes, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Sof Simin Kof Lametes, the Mechaber writes, HaKorei B'Torah Tzorach La'achoz B'Sefer Torah B'Shas HaBracha. When you get a bracha, when you get called to the Torah, you have to hold on to the Torah when you're making the brachos. Because of Azeh HaRamah V'Samchu Minag Zeh HaMashenemar B'Yoshua Lo Yomu Sefer HaTorah Zeh Mipicha Chazak V'Yamat. Hold on to the Torah. Don't let go of the Torah. Mizeh Nagu Lomar L'Messayim Likros V'Torah B'Chol Pam Chazak. And therefore when we finish a section of the Torah, we say Chazak Chazak V'Nis Chazak. We're never going to let go. So, however, there has to be a balance during these days. On the one hand, of holding on to everything that we went through, and on the other hand, knowing how to transition and to land the rocket ship. Yeah? But we have to hold on. He says, look in the Gra, look in the Chedush of Rekiva Eger, that this minhag of Chazak is already found in Maseches Sofer. Good. He quotes the Gemara in Brachos in the next line. V'nira lahostif levar b'zad isa b'gemara brachos lamed beis amud beis. There are four things that need chizuk. Tana Rabbanan, arba, tzrichim, chizuk. Four things need constant strengthening. What are they? Torah, maisim tovim, tefillah, v'derech eretz. And we have proof for each of them. Tefillah minayin, shenemar kaveh el Hashem, chazak v'yam tzivecha, and then kaveh el Hashem. What does it mean, kaveh el Hashem, and then kaveh el Hashem again? Perish Rashi. When you finish something, Rashi says, you have to try to hold on to it. Kaveh el Hashem, I put my hope in Hashem, and then I continue to hope in Hashem. I try to hold on to it. So the Rav explained to Mashma the Inyan Chizik, what does it mean to mechazek something? The gather of being mechazek something means to hold on to something. When we finish the Torah, we say chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek, means we want to hold on to it. We're not ready to let go. Sha'af shekvar gemar b'siyim limudo. Even though I finished and I'm closing my gemara, I'm done learning for the day. But we should really say to ourselves every day when we walk out of the base measures, chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. That doesn't just mean I should show up again tomorrow. It means I should hold on to what I learned today. I should take it with me. Alav lachzor lahaschil odapam. U'lahamshich lilmor. Right? To be able to continue to do it over and over and over again. V'nira d'mihai taima hu d'nagu b'shosh m'sayim m'sechta. And therefore, Soloveitchik explained, what's the minhag when a Jew finishes learning Masechta? We immediately what? Immediately start the next Masechta, even if it's just two words. Why? Because when I show HaKadosh Baruch, I'm never done with your Torah. A couple of years ago, the Ashfiyah came to give a shir. Parshas Lech Lecha. Tavshin Ayin Vav. The Ashfiyah came to our shir. I don't remember what he spoke about, but I remember one thing that he said. He said that when he first got married, he was learning in a kol machanchim. And he said there was this African-American janitor who used to clean up around the base medrash. And he said to the mashpia and his chavrusa one time, his name was Rob, janitor's name was Rob. So this guy Rob, he said to the mashpia, as a young man, he said to the mashpia and his chavrusa, when are you guys going to finish that book already? You guys have been sitting by that book for so long already. When are you going to finish that book already? You know? Go play some ball or something. Yeah? So I remember the Mashpia's face, like, how could you explain, right, that even if we finish this book, there's many more books waiting for us? You never finish Torah. So such a thing as a siyum on Torah. You never finish learning Torah. So the Rav explained, when we finish learning a Masechta, we immediately start the next Masechta. And he says, for that same reason, when we finish on Shabbos, when we finish Simchas Torah, when we finish a Sefer, right, we immediately start the next Sefer. On Shabbos, we finish Parshas Vayechi, Mincha time, we're already reading Sefer Shemos. That on the same Shabbos, we should be making that transition. Uvesimchas Torah, four lines on the bottom. Kishim Besaimim Kriyas Kola Torah Kula Nagula Haskel, take off Umiyad. We start immediately, Vosom Aymer. We immediately start to read Bereishis. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to see, do we still want to keep going? So yes, on the one hand, we're being kicked out. We're being forced out of the month of Tishrei. We have to face Svar Cheshvan. We have to land the aircraft. We can't be La'ela U'La'ela. But at the same time, we have to try to hold on. We have to try to keep things going, so to speak. We have to go from the end of the Torah back immediately to the beginning of the Torah. So look what the Rav says, three lines from the bottom. Why do we have the minhag to sing Adon Olam at the end of davening? He says where it's underlined. We start davening with Adon Olam. When we finish the tefillah, we say a second time. We end or we started. What are we saying? It's such a beautiful verse. The Rav said, you know what you're saying when you say Adon Olam at the end of davening? You're saying, my mind's not on the Kiddush. My mind is thinking if I could start the whole thing over again, I would. If the halach would allow me to daven the whole thing again, I enjoyed davening so much. I enjoyed the opportunity to talk to you so much, Hashem. I enjoyed the rabbi's drasha so much, I'd want to hear it again. Adon Olam. I go back to the beginning. Laharos ki'ilu anachnu muchonim kvar lachzor lispal min aschal od pam. I wish I could do the whole thing over again. Such a beautiful perspective. And that's because tefillah needs chizuk. Chizuk means you got to keep doing it, you got to try to hold on to it. Torah needs chizuk. Right? These are things that require chizuk. And therefore, after everything that we went through, chazak, chazak, we heard with our own ears, we said it with our own mouth. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. We have to, on the one hand, again, make the transition back to regular life, but at the same time, we have to try to hold on. We have to realize that the celebration of Simchas Torah is not the celebration of ends, but a celebration of beginnings. Turn to page 4. This is from a Talmud of the Kotzker Rebbe. The paper is called Ezer Eliyahu. And the Ezer Eliyahu from a Talmud of the Kotzker Rebbe, he brings an amazing thing. He says there's a song that people sing on Simchas Torah, Agil ve'esmach b'simchas haTorah. Some say Nogil v'nismach, some say Nogil v'nosis b'simchas haTorah. There's a niggin that people sing. So he says, Agil ve'esmach b'simchas haTorah is sofei tevos, the last letters. You see? Sofei tevos osios tchila. The last letters of this famous phrase that people say on Simchas Torah is tchila, is beginning. Because what are we celebrating on Simchas Torah? Everyone thinks we're celebrating the completion of the Torah. What we're really celebrating is that Klal Yisrael never completes the Torah. What we're celebrating is the tchila. Ki chos v'shalom ein l'smoach v'lo m'shekvar gomar v'hishlim ha-Torah ki ein l'ketz v'sof u'rechav ha-mitzvasech ha-mod. Torah is endless. We're not celebrating Simchas Torah that we made it to the end. Right? And we highlight that by going immediately back to the beginning. We're celebrating the fresh start. We're celebrating not everything that we have done, but Amir Tzashem, everything that we're going to do. Everything that we're going to come out of this Yom Tov and set our sights on for the future. The schus of being able to complete it, now we're able to start the whole thing over again with even greater strength. Which is why, as annoying as it is to start yeshiva and then to have like off for a month, good reason, right? But what I like about this, the second start, is it gives us exactly that. It gives us a chance to start again. It's mamish, a fresh start. Today's day one of yeshiva. That's why we're going to open up sukkah to the Beis Meraf. Start right from the beginning, the opening mishnah. So you have all the excitement of day one. And that's what we're celebrating on Simchas Torah. Right? Rav couldn't understand that you're never going to finish the book. The book never ends. The book mamish never ends. There was a rabbi who shared a couple of years ago after Simchas Torah. He said he took his 3-year-old son after Kiddush. They went up to Kol Ha'arim. Yeah, so he said he's standing there under the talis with his son, his 3-year-old son David, and it's Kol Ha'arim. And all of a sudden, this is the practice in Klai, so they start to sing Hamalach. And this little kid, this 3-year-old kid, has like this look of terror on his face. So his father says, "What's wrong?" And then he realized they're singing his bedtime song. The kid's thinking, like, there's still more candy to get, like, around here. Like, I'm not going to sleep yet. I just woke up 4 hours ago. Hey, why am I standing here singing my bedtime song? There's no way I'm going to sleep yet. And all this party going on, there's no way. And then the kid looks at him, and he says, oh. He says, Tati, I understand. He said, when he saw they put the blanket on the Torah, he said, oh, the Torah is going to sleep. We're saying Hamalach is the Torah is going to sleep. After the Leah, they cover the Torah with the mantle. He said, oh, they put a blanket on the Torah, the Torah is going to sleep. So his father said to his son, and he shared with his Kehillah, he said, how can you explain to a child, the Torah doesn't go to sleep. Hashem doesn't sleep, and Hashem is one with the Torah, right? That means the Torah doesn't sleep. Zohar also says that we're one with Hashem and the Torah, which means we're also not supposed to sleep so much because we're so excited to be alive and to be involved in Torah and mitzvahs. But he said the Torah doesn't sleep. And he said, I'll show up with you from halacha. What's the halacha? You slept in the sukkah, you wake up the next morning, you go to shul. Yeah, you come back after shul, you're having breakfast in the sukkah. You make a bracha, leishiva sukkah. Depends what you're eating. Assuming you're having a bagel. Yeah, you're washing. Megaleisha Basuka. You go out for a couple hours. Yeah, you go to the base medrash. You do a little shopping for the family. Pick up some things for their Yom Tov. Yeah, you go to the supermarket. You come back. Now you're having lunch. 2 hours later, you sit down. 2 slices of pizza. You're making a mozi. You make another Leisha Basuka. What's the halacha? Yeah, of course you do. Right? Every time you go to the sukkah, you make a Leisha Basuka. A person puts on their talis in the morning. Yeah? Yom Kippur, you wear a talis. Okay, you wear it for many, many hours, then there's a break. The shul has a break for an hour. So you go home for an hour, you come back an hour later, you put the talis back on, you make a bracha on it again? Yes, it's a new asiyas hamitzvah, so you make a bracha on the talis again. Okay? What about Torah? How many times do they make birchas Torah? Once. Why? You learned, and then you went to class, and then you came back to the night seder. So why do you make another birchas Torah? This is Tosos Brachos Dafir Aleph from Abyss. Very famous Tosos. And the way the Rav Soloveitchik explained it is that a person always has a latent awareness of Torah. He compared it to a parent's latent awareness of their child. A parent's not always with the child. A parent's not always actively thinking about the child. But the parent is always, passively, right, has a latent awareness of the child. A Jew has a latent awareness of Torah. My default setting is a return to Torah. So yeah, sometimes I have to walk away from Torah a little bit. But as soon as I can get back to Torah, there's no hafzik in Torah. The Torah doesn't go to sleep. Even when you cover it with a blanket and you sing HaMalach HaGol. Torah never sleeps. And again, that's the celebration of Simchas HaTorah. We're celebrating the new beginnings. Rav Hutner has a piece in the Ma'amari Pachad Yitzchak on Sukkis in Maimer Nun Zayin. He tells a story about the Chiddush Erim. He says the Chiddush Erim once was watching two of his Talmidim dancing on Simchas HaTorah. And the Chiddush Erim said, this one's going to tire first, and this one's going to have more energy to keep dancing. B'kachal? That's what happened. So they asked the Chiddush Erim, how'd you know? How'd you know that Yankel was going to run out of steam and Beryl was going to keep dancing all day? So he said, it's simple. He said, it was clear to me that Yankel was dancing over the Torah that he learned this past year. That's a quantifiable amount. The amount of Torah that he learned this past year, however many dafim, how many number hours, how many psukim, you could add that up. Might be a lot, right? But it's still limited. But Beryl was dancing over all the Torah he's going to learn in the future. And that's unlimited. And therefore his simcha is able, he keeps dancing. He doesn't stop dancing. So a beautiful insight. That's what Simchas Torah is. It's setting your sights on where we're going. So yes, we're trying to land the airplane safely. Right? But at the same time, we have to be dreaming big. We have to be looking towards the future. There was a tzaddik in Yerushalayim, Yerushalmi Yid, of the previous generation. His name was Rav Yeshaya Cheshen. So he said one time he was in a shul on Simchas Torah. And he was dancing, and he looked over to the side, and he saw these simple Jewish laborers standing on the side, not dancing. So Rav Yeshaya Cheshen went over to him and said, Chaver, why aren't you dancing? Simchas Torah. This is your simcha also. They said, nah, Rebbe, it's not our simcha. Why is this our simcha? We're simple laborers. We don't learn any Torah. Why should we dance? This is your celebration. This is for the people who learn. So he said to them, Rav Yeshaya Cheshen said, there's two chassanim on Simchas Torah. There are two major kibudim. There's chassan Torah and chassan Bereishis. He said, what's chassan Torah? He said, chassan Torah is a celebration of the person who learned a lot of Torah this past year. He said, but there's another chassan. It's Chasim Bereishis. Chasim Bereishis is a celebration of everything that we're going to do in the future. So this Rav Yeshaya Cheshen said to these laborers, these simple Israeli laborers, he said, come dance. He said, you may not be a Chasim Torah. You didn't learn that much this past year. You could be a Chasim Bereishis. You could sign up to learn a lot in the coming year. You can make a commitment. They said, Rebbe, who's going to teach us? He said, I'll teach you. Let's make a Chabur. And they made a commitment to make a Chabur, and they used to learn with him. And that's Simchas Torah. They all danced wildly together. Because you can be a Chasim Bereishis. It's a celebration of where we're heading. It's not a celebration of what we did in the past. It's a celebration of where we're trying to be. Okay, turn the page, page 5. In the biography of Rav Baruch Ber, Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenitz, Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich. So Rav Baruch Ber tells the following story in this biography, the Feldheim biography of Rav Baruch Ber. It says, there was a young man who came one summer to check out the yeshiva, and he enjoyed it very much, but the Haskalah movement was very strong, and this young man was very wise and very creative, and the Maskilim set their eyes on him. And his plan was to leave yeshiva. He decided, after the summer, I'm out of here. So they begged him, they said, no, just stay for El, hoping that maybe El would inspire. El came and went, his plan was still to leave yeshiva after El's man. Rosh Hashanah came and went, his plan was still to leave yeshiva. Yom Kippur came and went, his plan was still to leave yeshiva. Sukkot came and went, his plan was still to leave yeshiva. Take a look. Sukkot went by, and then it was Simchas Torah. The Bachar joined everyone else in the uplifting dancing and singing. After Yom Tov, to everyone's surprise and pleasure, the Bachar told his friends that he had changed his plans. He intended to remain in yeshiva. When asked what had caused this sudden change, he replied that during the festivities on Simchas Torah, he had watched Rav Baruch Ber during the dancing. He saw such great love of Torah and Avas Hashem, such joy, such an intense longing to cling to the Torah and Hashem. He heard a tune, Rabbeinu's poetic lyrics, and soul-stirring the gunim as he danced, hugging the Sefer Torah. The scene had turned him around completely. We have this account from the Gaon Rav Tuvia Goldstein, Rosh Yeshiva of Emek Halacha. That Bachar, he said, continued to learn in the yeshiva. He didn't join the Maskilim in the end, and became one of the most well-known Marbitzei Torah of that generation. Unbelievable. One Simchas Torah. Being able to allow Simchas Torah to change his whole direction in life. By watching the simcha and the joy and the excitement of what it means to be a Jew. But again, we have to try to bring it back down to planet Earth. And that's the avod of these days. Trying to find out, yes, we've been changed by Simchas Torah, we've been totally transformed. But we need to try to hold on to it. I was thinking, maybe that's the reason. In the writings of Rav Pinchas Karatzer, one of the early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, Rav Pinchas Karatzer says, in Imrei Pinchas, first we dance in a circle, and then we dance panim el panim. Then we dance face to face. Right? First we go around and around the circle, and then we do like this. Right? You know, the like walls, and the walls come towards each other, and then go back, forwards and back, forwards and back. Right? So he explains very Kabbalistically what that's about. But I think it's very Pashut. On the one hand, the Jew is acknowledging that, yes, there's a circle. Right? There's a certain circle of events. And the hope is that the circle just has no beginning, it has no end, it just goes on forever. But then there's also what? There's the dance of Ratzav Eshov. There's the dance of times I'm going to be close, and then I move back. There's times I'm going to be far. And there's this balance of, on the one hand, trying to lock it in, so to speak, to get in that circle, to be permanently stuck in that world of going around in circles. Right? But at the same time, there's also moving forward, moving back. And that's part of, again, the transition during these days. To try to hold on to it, to try to lock it all in. Okay, I'll tell you a part that I thought of this year. I was very excited about. We say in L'David, Ki avi v'imi azavuni, v'Hashem yasfeini. Right? My father and my mother have abandoned me, but God has gathered me in. We know that Sukkot is Chag HaOsif. It's the time of gathering. What does it mean that my father and my mother have abandoned me? Right? But Hashem gathered me in. So I think you could say an amazing part. Let me just tell you something first from the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood, Rabbi Yerucham Olshin. Rabbi Yerucham Olshin says, he asked the question, I don't think we mentioned this before Yom Tov. Rabbi Yerucham Olshin asked the question, it seems that throughout the month of Tishrei, things are getting stronger and stronger. So why is Yom Kippur not the pinnacle? Why is Yom Kippur not where it ends? Right? Why do I have Sukkot that comes after Yom Kippur? Did we ask this? Did we talk about this question? So why is Sukkot after Yom Kippur? So he says, Sukkot is after Yom Kippur because Sukkot is even higher level than Yom Kippur. And if it's beautiful with what we're talking about today, why? Why is Sukkot higher than Yom Kippur? Because Yom Kippur, we're compared to angels. The Torah writes in two places that on Yom Kippur, a Jew is like a malach. But what's a higher level, a malach or a person? A person's a higher level. To be a holy human being is a much bigger chiddush than being a malach. Hashem has endless malachim, but Hashem chooses us over the malachim. Hashem gave the Torah to us over the malachim. Sukkot shows that not only can I serve God as a malach, not eating, not drinking, not sleeping, Yom Kippur, right? But I can serve Hashem with eating and drinking and sleeping. In a simple structure built out of what? Out of psoles, gor, and beyekev. Out of stubble and straw and leftover planks of wood. I can make a house for Kodesh Baruch Hu. A dira b'tachtonim. That's the tachlis of the whole Bria. Hashem's greatest desire was what? Not to only be the God up there, but to have a dira b'tachtonim. That's what the sukkah is. It's dira b'tachtonim. So Sukkot is in a certain sense an even higher level than Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So again, what does the pasuk say? It's a little bit, you have to follow it a little bit. Ki avi v'imi azavuni. Yeah? My father and mother abandoned me, but Hashem has gathered me. Hashem has gathered me. Abba and Ima are Kabbalistic terms that are synonymous for Chachma and Bina. Yeah? So Avi and Imi Azavuni, Chachma and Bina have abandoned me. Now what does that mean? So I'd like to suggest the following. I want to say that Avi is Rosh Hashanah, Imi is Yom Kippurim, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur don't last, but Sukkot is less. Hashem, the Yom Tov of Hashem, the Sukkot is called Hashem because Chol Shem Shemayim al Sukkah, the Gematria of Sukkah is Hashem's name, was the Gematria of Sukkah. Samach Vav Chafei. 91. What's the Gematria of Hashem's name the way it's written and spelled? It's written Yudke Vavke, 26, and it's pronounced Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, 65. So that's 91. Gemara says in Daf Tes, Chol Shem Shemayim al Sukkah. The Sukkah is Hashem's house. Yeah? So Avi V'imi Azavuni, Abba and Ima, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur abandoned me, but Hashem is Yasfeini, B'chaga Asif less. Why? Because like Rabbi Yochanan Balshin said, it's a higher level. It's Dira B'tachtonim. Right? It's not flying in the atmosphere. It's in this world. Now why is Rosh Hashanah Abba and why is Yom Kippur Ima? So again, I told you, Abba and Ima are Kabbalistic code words for Chachma and Bina. Why is Rosh Hashanah the day of Chachma? Why is Yom Kippur a day of Bina? And according to that, why is Sukkot a day of Das? So let's go from the bottom up. Let's go. Why is Sukkot Das? Chachma Bina Das. Yeah, why is Yom Kippur Bina?
Because, like Moshe said, right before, if Hashem doesn't
stand,
standing, we're cooked.
Okay.
Cooked.
Could be.
As you understand.
Okay, so yeah, I'm going to say some things, and I hope you'll understand it. If not, as you learn more Sefer Chassidus, you'll understand it. You'll come back one day and you'll understand it. Right? Rosh Hashanah, let's go. Rosh Hashanah is Chachma. This Gemara says about Shofar, right, that Shofar is a Chachma ve'ein a Malacha. The Gemara says about Shofar, playing Shofar is a Chachma. Being able to play the sound of the Shofar is called a Chachma, but it's not a Malacha. The Gemara talks about that in the Halachic context. But the highlight of Rosh Hashanah is the Shofar, and Shofar is called Chachma. Okay? So Rosh Hashanah is Chachma. Yom Kippur, right, Ima, corresponds to Bina. The Sfarim say that Bina is the place of Tshuva. Again, I can't explain what that means right now, but the Bina, the Sfira of Bina, is the Olam HaTshuva. And like a mother who shields her child, so too a Kadosh Baruch Hu shields us and protects us and covers over us and blocks us from the Yesh Tahara and the Satan on Yom Kippur. But the pasuk says, Avi v'imi azavuni, Chachman, Bina, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, they don't last. You can't stay Rosh Hashanah dick forever. You can't stay Yom Kippur dick forever. But Hashem, Yasveini. But Hashem can gather me in. Chag HaAsif, Sukkot can last. Because Sukkot is a human being living and eating and sleeping and hanging out in what? In a physical structure. Not in the spiritual, angelic world of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but in a physical reality called the Sukkah. Dira B'tachtonim. Chachma Bina Das. Why is that Das? Why is Sukkah Das? That's the easiest one. Why is Sukkah a place of Das? No? Why is Sukkah Das? Why is Sukkah Das? L'man yedu dor seichem, right? You have to have, remember the Bach? You have to have extra kavanah when you sit in the Sukkah. You have to know why you sit in the Sukkah. L'man yedu, the whole essence of Sukkah is Das. Is awareness. Okay? And then when we put all three together, Chachma, Bina, and Das, when you put all three together, this whole Tekufa from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, so that's crowning a Kodesh Baruch. That's what we say in the Nusach Sfarad. What does it say? Atachonin l'adam das. Yeah? What do we say? Hashem is chonin chachma bina v'das. Baruch Ata Hashem chonin adas. Yeah? The gematria of chachma, the Sfarim say chachma bina v'das. It's amazing. Chachma plus bina v'das, right? Chachma bina v'das is gematria keser, 620. So you crown a Kodesh Baruch. That's keser yitnu l'cha. Okay, but again, you can say a pshat in what we said in Ledavid. Avi v'imi azavuni, Hashanah Yom Kippur, they don't last. But Hashem yasveini. But Sukkot can last. You can gather things in from the Sukkah. So chaver, so let's finish up now. Let's finish up. Turn the page. Page 6. What shape is the Sukkah? What shape is the Sukkah? I don't know. The Vilna Gaon said a sukkah is samach, chaf, hay. Samach is closed on all four sides. Chaf is closed on three sides. Hay is two walls and a tefach. So the Vilna Gaon said there's three ways to make a sukkah. You can have a four-wall sukkah, you can have a three-wall sukkah, you can have a two-and-a-half-wall sukkah. Says the Be'er Hativ on Shulchan Aruch, sukkah is the letter Beis. Sukkah is the letter Beis. Okay, sukkah is the letter Beis. Take a look. The B'lushev Rebbe on page 6. Tzvilat Tzadik from B'lushev. He says the Be'er Hativ is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, says sukkah doma le-beis. Sukkah is in the shape of the letter Beis. Va'olam doma le-beis. Va'torah maschalis le-beis. The shape of the world is a Beis. The sukkah is in the shape of the letter Beis. And the Torah starts with the letter Beis. Yeah? And then he says, what are we saying in the David? Shifti beveis Hashem. Kol yimei chayai. Shifti beveis Hashem. David Melech says, I want to stay in the house of Hashem. But the B'lishev Rebbe says, no, not just the house of Hashem. Shifti beveis, the letter Beis. I want to stay in the Beis of Hashem. Beveis Hashem. Shifti beveis Hashem. I want to stay in the letter Bet. The shape of the sukkah is the letter Bet. Yeah? And he says a beautiful remez by the second arrow. He says, Shifti is Rashi Tevos Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yamim. You see? So Shifti beveis Hashem. Not just the bias of Hashem, which the sukkah is a bias of Hashem, but I want to sit in the base Hashem, the base of Hashem. But I'd like to add very simply to the B'lishev of Rebbe, what does it say? Shifti beveis Hashem. I want to stay in the base Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. I want to stay in the sukkah forever. And it is possible. You can't stay in Yom Kippur forever. You can't stay in Rosh Hashanah forever. But it is possible to stay in the sukkah forever. Because the Yom Tov of Sukkis is meant to be taken with us. Shifti. Shifti. Rosh Hashanah was about Sukkos, Tejru, Shivas, Yamim. Beveis Hashem. But the next word in the pasuk is Kol Yimei Chayai. I want to take it with me. I want to bring the sukkah back into the house. Turn the page. Page 7. Rav Biederman, in his Be'er HaChaim on this time of the year, he quotes from the Divrei Yoel. He quotes from the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe explained the following. When Yaakov came to the place that was called Sukkos, and he built Sukkos for his animals, but it also says he built himself a house. Isn't that interesting? The pasuk says, V'Yaakov nasa Sukkosa. Yaakov came to Sukkos, and he made Sukkos for his animals, and then he built himself a house. And therefore he called the name of the place Sukkos. Why didn't he call the name of the place house? Yaakov is the one who corresponds to the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Because of this pasuk, Yaakov Nasa Sukkosa, he built a house. So the Satmar Rebbe, the Divrei Yoel, explained. Because Yaakov understood that whatever happened in the sukkah has to come back into the house. Whatever took place in the sukkah has to come back into the house. What's the rule by sukkah? Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yamin, what's the Gemara say? Teshvu Ke'ein Teduru, which means what? I live in the sukkah the way I live in my house. So says the Divrei Yoel, says the Satmar Rebbe, quotes the Gemara, Nedarim ein hekesh lemechsa. You don't make a hekesh in one direction. Which means if the sukkah is supposed to be like the house, then after sukkah, the house is supposed to be like the sukkah. Teshu tein kein taduru, and then after sukkah is what? Taduru kein teshu. Try to bring what you experience in the sukkah back into the house. The same way the sukkah was a place of simple living with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Try to bring that back into the house. Take it with you to bring it back into the house. Don't be the same person you were when you first began the whole process. Don't allow your spacecraft to explode on re-entry. In the footnote, he tells a story about the second arrow. He says that Rav David of Tolna one time, Shapam be'ez shenifredu mimenu chasidim, shol esecher me'am eichu chozer l'ira. Rav David of Tolna asked the chasid, how are you getting home after Yontif? How are you getting back to your city? Hispala chasid min hasheila. Chasid said, how am I getting back to my city? What does that mean? Heisha b'pashtus. Shu chozer and bala gala ha-goy shehevi osahena. I'm going to go back in the wagon with the same guy that I came with. The same Gentile wagon driver got me here is the one I'm going to go home with. Vayhi kishmo ha-rava kodosh mitolnas chuvasa. Listen to this maisa, chavar. It's an amazing maisa. When the Tolna Rebbe heard that he says, I'm going back with the same guy that I came with. He says, you're going back with the same guy that you came with. Nizdaik me'oyme kalei v'toma ima goyisha basa imu atachozer. You're going back with the same goyish part of yourself that you came here with. You're not a better Jew. You didn't leave some of the goyishness behind. You didn't leave some of your secular part of your being behind. Eich yitochin kedavar zeh. Halo tzorach liznar v'lazov v'levatos chelik ha-goyish ha-bekirvo. You need to leave behind Right? Some of the things that you brought. So when we came into Elul and Tishrei, we had a lot of baggage. We had a lot of dirty baggage. Right? But when we leave, when we drive out, we have to drive out different people. We can't come into the Yom Tov and go out of the Yom Tov the same way. We can't travel into the Yom Tov with a Gentile wagon driver and drive out exactly the same way. We have to be able to drive out, to leave the Yom Tov, different people. Okay, so Chavrus, so let's conclude. On page 8 and 9, Rav Moshe Wolfson. Rav Wolfson says there are two things that always come with a person. And this year Hashem gave us an extra special schus. Because Sukkos went right into Shabbos. Rav Wolfson writes in the collected Emunah Sitecha, he writes by the first hour on page 8, Kamo shehagonas ha-sukkah nimsheches achar chag ha-sukkos. Just like we've just explained that you're supposed to take the sukkah with you. You're supposed to bring it back into your house. Right? Teishu kein taduru, taduru kein teishu. Just like the sukkah comes with a person, kol yimei ha-shana, kamo kein ha-aras ha-shabbos nimsheches l'kol yimei ha-shvuah. Shabbos is supposed to get us through the whole week. You take Shabbos with you throughout the entire week. He says by the second arrow, V'nimtza sheshnei kohos malavim es adam tamid. There are two things that follow us around all the time. Sukkah and Shabbos. It's possible to take Shabbos with you through the week, to give you chizik, and it's possible to take Sukkos with you through the whole year. Basukos teishru shivas yamim. If you really sat in the Sukkah for 7 days, then what? Then kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael. When you become a regular citizen again, yeshu basukos. Still be sitting in the Sukkah. That's how the tzaddikim read the pasuk. Basukos teishru shivas yamim. Sit in the Sukkah for 7 days, and then kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael. When you're a regular private citizen again, when you're back to regular life, you'll still be sitting in the Sukkah. I'll still be sitting in the sukkah, even after those 7 days. So Wolfson says, you have to take these things with us. We take Shabbos with us, we take the sukkah with us. He brings an amazing gematria. He says, titzpenein besukkah, like the pasuk says, gematria yom haShabbos. Because just like Shabbos surrounds us entirely, sukkah protects us entirely. And our job is to try to, again, to remain within that sukkah, to remain within Shabbos, to try to take it with us. Turn the page, page 9. I was thinking, after Shlosh Regalim, where do we go? Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. It's over. Sukkos is the end of the Shalosh Regalim cycle. Where do we go now? I was trying to figure it out. What happens after Shalosh Regalim? But Kosh Baruch Hu gives us another start. Hashem gives us Bereishis. Hashem says, it looks like it's over, but it's mamash just beginning. We just began Chumash Bereishis. To always connect the ends to the beginnings. What's the gematria of Shalosh Regalim? I realize it's over Yom Tov. Shalosh Regalim. Shin Lamed Shin is what? 6:30, Shalosh, Rigalim, Reish Gimel Lamed Yud Mem. Shalosh Rigalim is 9:13. It's Gematria Bereishis. Exactly. Shalosh Rigalim is Gematria Bereishis. So you're letting go of Shalosh Rigalim. Where do I go now? What's going to be with me? Hashem says, no way. You think this is the end? We just started. Chumash Bereishis. Mamish Chumash Bereishis. Right after Yom Tov. The highlight of the whole Yom Tov season is over. And Hashem says, you think it's over? It's just beginning. Mam is just beginning. So says Rav Wolfson, a very powerful idea on page 9, by the first arrow. Uve'ich v'sod m'shicha. Chaver, that's us. At the end of days, Hashabbos v'asukkah heim ha-teva matzelas es Yisrael. The Shabbos and Sukkah are like a teva. There's many comparisons between the teva of Noach and the Sukkah. Shabbos is also like a teva. It just so happens that this week's parsha is what? Right after Bereishis, we got to go into Noach. We got to go into the teva. We got to protect ourselves to make sure we can hang on to everything that we've been working on. Enter into the teva. So Rav Wolfson says, we're living in a world which is a marble of apikorsis. We are living in a world that's filled. It's a marble of taiva. And therefore we have to enter into the teva. After Sukkah, we take everything. We bring it into the teva, right? Noach's teva, that we enter during these days. He says in the last paragraph, on the left-hand side, V'abal Shem Tov Mefarish, when Noach makes his teva, this week's parsha, Tzohar Ta'as El Teva, make a window for the teva, Shetzorach Laheir Tevos HaTfila V'Tevos HaTorah, right? A window for the teva means that your tevos, your words, should be illuminated. When we come back after Yom Tov, when we learn Torah, our words should be illuminated. Our tefillah should be more illuminated. There should be a window shedding light. So are for the teva. Teva means a word. It means a boat, but it also means a word. Your words should be illuminated. So the Baal Shem Tov explained. Behu inyan echad. Bechinas Shabbos, shesarach lakadis shabbos b'dibur kedusha. Just like on Shabbos, the words you speak are holier words. And when you sit in the sukkah, you're supposed to speak holy words. He says the avodah during these days is what? Is to take the whole sukkah and to bring it back in. To make sure that I take the sukkah with me, I take Shabbos, and this year we had sukkahs right into Shabbos. So it should be easy for us to take everything with us in Mirtzah Hashem. And last but not least, since yesterday was the yahrzeit of one of our rebbeim. We started with our Rebbe Rav Volpe, and we'll end with our Rebbe Berditcher, the Kedushas Levi. Yesterday was the Kedushas Levi's yahrzeit. And the Kedushas Levi gave us one other thing to set our eyes on, to be hopeful for. This is from the Sefer Mishnah Sachir, Rav Yisachar Teichtal, the author of the Yom Abanam Smecha. And he quotes, you can see where it says Kedushas Levi, about five or six lines in. The Kedushas Levi explained the following. Kesheigia Motzei Simchas Torah, Hischil Ismar Merlis Onim. When Simchas Torah came and went, he felt so bad. Oily. Right, where do I go now? Me'ai nekach li chiyus l'achiyus, as nafshi. Hachiyus di Yom Tov. How do I find the source of life to keep me as alive as I was over Yom Tov? Over hashashuim shal Yom Tov, ha'onek, shizanim, kedushas Yom Tov, chalaf, ha'halach. The whole thing is gone. Where do I go now? Me'ai nekach nofish l'nafsho, b'cheshkos ha'golus hazeh. I'm back in the dark golus. What happens now? V'kohis marmer, third line in the left column. V'kohis marmer ma'od bedvarim kavushim. Hamischakim leiv kol ish Yisraeli hashemeyas as hakadosh haniskalel. And the Berditcher, when he heard the sighing and the groaning of the Berditcher on Motzei Simchas Torah, what's going to be now? It was a very painful thing for a person to hear. Eich shebekoshi gadol hayanifra mikedushas Yom Tov. How painful it was for the Berditcher to let go of this Yom Tov. Shemeir alav or nifla, such an illuminated time. Now the great light has been taken away from us. It's like a person, he says. The Berditcher was like a person who was stumbling around in the dark, trying to find his way. And then in the distance, as he's making his way through the dark forest, all of a sudden, what does he see in the distance? He sees a little glimmer of light. A little house at the edge of the forest with a candle burning in the window. V'nuchal esharis godel simchazo. You can only imagine how happy the person must be that he sees, I'm going to make it out of this dark forest because there's a light in the distance. Mamish hechya haner katana azes nafsho. That little ner gave him so much chizuk. Ki ba'oro nira la'or v'yagia chashko. Because it illuminated all of his darkness. Kamo kein ba'es shehebin mirachal as a ner katana shel menorah. So the Berditcher said, on Motzei Simchas Torah, when he was feeling down, he was said, I'm like a person lost in a dark forest, but I can see a little light in the distance. What's that little light? On the other edge of the darkness, after Cheshvan and Kislev, after all these dark months, it's getting darker, Chavra. Yeah? Getting physically darker outside. These are these days where like you wake up, it's dark, and your whole day is dark. Right? You walk out of class, it's dark, and it's more dark, and it's more dark. There's like no light. Yeah? But the Berditcher said there's a little light. There's a little light at the end of the forest. We can already start looking. I always pull out the Hanukkah farm right after Simchas Torah. That's the Berditcher. You have to have a light in the distance. We're 2 months from Hanukkah, but still, you got to be looking towards that light of the menorah. The Rebbe of Nishchiz used to have a sitter from the Baal Tanya that on the same page, I love this, on the same page as the Hakavos for Simchas Torah, at the bottom of the page was the bracha for Hanukkah. So he used to say, he used to get a lot of chizik from that. And he was able to see a link on the page between Simchas Torah and Hanukkah. So the Berditcher saw the Ner Katana in the distance. And that again, that gives us chizik. The Rav Chaim used to say, Bereishis bara Elokim. When Bereishis comes, V'aretai said, Tov Vavo. Right? Yom Tov's over. Tov Vavo. Back to regular life. But all of a sudden, what? V'yomer Elokim Yihior. V'yihior. The light of Hanukkah is not that far away. Keep your eye, even in this dark period. Keep your eye on the prize. So Mirza Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to be able to land the aircraft safely. That the re-entry should be done in a very balanced way. On the one hand, we can't pretend it's going to be Le'elu Le'ela. You're not always going to be Le'elu Le'ela. It's a chay. It's a dream of Le'elu Le'ela all the time. But at the same time, you can be changed by Simchas Torah. And you can take the sukkah with you. And you can try to look towards the future of the light of Hanukkah. And you could be a Chassan Bereishis. A Chassan Bereishis who's celebrating what? Who's dancing wildly for the things he's going to do in the future. And that should give us a lot of chizuk to keep going. Amir Tashem, until we're able to see that light of Hanukkah. Haba Aleinu L'Tova. Shkoyach. Do a niggin for the Berditcher is yartza yesterday. I'll sing the Berditcher a niggin. He's our rabbi. We have to sing his niggin. I know. Yeah.